I did one music open mic where the host, it was like at Ryerson. I don't know if you know it, man. It was a long time ago, but they were, the hosts were two like cokeheads. They were weird men. They, every male comic that went on, they'd like try and fight them. They'd walk in front of me like, what? And if they saw a female comic, they'd be like, oh, you can do as much time as you want. Like, it was so crazy. And I'm like, am I that addicted? Like, do I need help? Probably. Like, if I'm doing these, like, doing these shit shows.
Yes, all comedians need help.
Oh my God, why am I here? I'm like, I need the stage time. I remember I got on, it was probably like 2 something in the morning. There were two people left and they both wanted to leave. And I was like, please don't leave. They were just trying, you know, people are trying to get out their seats and be like, okay, like they were the only ones in the middle of the room. I'm like, you can't leave me here. Like,
Laughing Vikings Live. High vibe chats with actors, comedians, and creators, plus stand-up comedy, sketch comedy, and most importantly, you. That's right, join us every Monday for new episodes, and you can be a part of the show on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Twitch. Ask questions and interact in the comments, and make sure to share this with your actor, comedian, and creator friends so they can be a part of the show too. Can't make a live show? No problem. You can catch up on your favorite podcast platform and visit laughingvikings.com to find out how you can join the cast and crew. All right, it's time for today's show. Buckle up and make sure you stick around to the end because we have a special surprise for you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Laughing Vikings Live. Happy Monday Fun Day. Let's go. Hey, happy Monday Fun Day. We're back, episode 46, Laughing Vikings Live. I'm here in Comedy Alley. We got the BK Broiler in the studio at Laughing Vikings. How you doing, BK?
I'm doing fantastic, Lars. I finally beat you at basketball today. We do a shoot around every couple days, and today was the first time I beat Lars.
Yeah, I had repressed that memory. I am still undefeated. But yeah, you've been honing that shot a little bit. Although, I got to say, that ball was not perfectly spherical. It had little bumps and bruises in that ball.
I'm going to blame the ball.
I'm blaming the ball. I'm blaming BK Broiler's special ball that he brings. He knows exactly how it works.
I know how it works. It wasn't
quite spherical. I'm gonna go buy another ball, actually. So okay. I'll have my ball, you'll have your ball. it was fun. We played just around the corner here in between sessions when we got a little break.
It's good exercise. It's a lot of fun too.
It is. And we have that, we have the old school. I don't know if anyone's an old school rap fan. I grew up, I guess in the 80s, early 90s, I was big into rap. Some of my friends were big into it. And so there's this is an oldie but goodie. Anyone who recognizes this, Curtis Blow has a song called Basketball, and it goes, "We love that basket. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court." And he just basically goes through every basketball. He's like, "Alley-oop to the hoop, y'all. It's basketball. Alley-oop." It's great. It's classic. And we just play that on loop and on repeat over and over. It's a good time. Oh, it's a good time.
The best.
We also had a fantastic weekend in Comedy Alley.
Yes.
If you want to bring up the posters from Friday night, who'd we have in Friday night, if I can remember? Friday was a very special night for me because, where are we here? There I am. On Friday, my dad, Fred, and stepmom, Lois, and a couple of family friends were in the audience. And it was actually their first live thing post-COVID. So it was kind of cool for them. They live about an hour north of Toronto. So it was one of their first trips to Toronto to see anything. And anyone who's been following along with me and or Laughing Vikings knows last year my dad had some health issues. So it was really great to see him out and about enjoying some comedy. And he got to see Pat Thornton, our special guest today. Sabrina Douglas was part of that show. Monty Scott and Arthur Simeon. That was an amazing show. Lots of fun to have them in the audience. And they all came swagged up. They were all wearing Laughing Vikings t-shirts.
It was
pretty sweet. We'll talk to Sabrina more about that show. She arrived a little late, and when she went on stage, not a little late, she came on time, but she missed the part where I told the comedians that it was my dad in the audience. So mm-hmm. she was kind of wondering who these elderly people are all wearing the Laughing Vikings. Sure. Yeah, there were such keeners in the front row. So we'll talk all about that. It was a great show. It was super fun. And then on Saturday, bring up the Saturday poster there.
There it is.
We had Ernie Vicente. We had Jillian Bartolucci, Jeremy Dobsky, and Chris Locke wasn't able to make it. So he had a fill-in. Who was it? Himanshu Patel came mm-hmm. in. That was another great show. We actually had a couple in the audience who were both lawyers, and they were celebrating their two-year anniversary as a couple. So there was plenty of lawyer jokes, plenty of prenup jokes happening. Mm-hmm. It was another fantastic weekend. So we seem to every show we have somebody special in the audience celebrating something special. And for those following along, we talked about last week how we had a couple in the audience. She was 2 days overdue. So we were trying to make her laugh hard enough to get to induce a birth.
Did she actually have the baby?
Yeah, a couple days after. Oh. She didn't. We wanted to have the birth on stage live in Comedy Alley. We were like, this is going to be the most viral clip ever. The baby stuck around inside the womb for a few more days, but eventually I think they had her on, I want to say it was the Sunday after they were here. So a couple days, 2-3 days.
Okay.
Great. Always a good time. And we have a new audience member, and I told the mom and dad that baby and baby's friends get in free. So we might have our first baby party here in Comedy Alley. We got Joseph Simon here live saying, what's he say there? The VIP is in the building.
Yeah. Well,
technically, you're not in the building, Joseph. You are you're in a building, I'm sure. You're not in our building, but we're happy to have you here remotely. Mm-hmm. We got a great show today, and we want to get into it. We won't mess around too much. I believe we're going to play a clip here. We have stand-up comedian, our guest today, Sabrina Douglas. We're going to introduce you to her via YouTube clip. You want to roll the clip?
Rolling the clip.
Like I said, I got kids, and my son, he's 8, but I love it when they're 5. That's the best age for me, you know, because that's when they start losing their teeth and they have no clue what's gone. You're like going on, you know what I'm saying? You have to tell them. But I remember he pulled out his first tooth all confused and shit. He was just like, oh my God. And I feel like as a mother, right away, I'm supposed to tell him what's going on, but forget that. I'm like, you're falling apart. He's like, no, your arms are next. Don't pick up your toys. They're so cute and they're scared when I love them most. But it's weird. I wanted to tell them about the Tooth Fairy because I enjoyed it as a kid. But kids nowadays ask way too many questions, and you got to be careful how you answer them. Like, put your tooth in the pillow and the Tooth Fairy's going to come and give you money. He's like, oh my God, how's she going to get into the house? I'm like, I don't know. She's going to climb through your window. He's like, what does she look like? I'm like an old white lady with wings because I remember that from somewhere. But I freaked him out. He was like, I don't want no white lady in my room. I'm going to swallow the teeth and the whole white lady won't come. And I'm like, oh my God, that's how they make racist people. So I just use it as a disciplining method. I'm like, you better clean up your room, those old white ladies are gonna come and get your pee. He's like, no, where is she? I'm like, she's that teeny bit. Pay it off her room. As old white people do, paying off their shit, that's good. You know? Oh man, it's weird because my daughter, she's almost 2 years old, like over 2 years older than my son. And it's weird. She was the first child in the whole family. And when a new sibling comes in, either they want to murder the new sibling or they look like it's a natural thing. I remember I had my son in the stroller at the mall and my daughter just looked at me and she was like, Mommy, just leave him here so it could just be me and you together. I'm like, are you the devil? I rebuke you in the name of my Jesus. I just got all the old Jamaican grandmothers in the mall. We have to pray for this one. We have to pray for this. Oh my God, it's so weird. Like, I remember my son would hold the new baby, and my daughter would just run by every once in a while and just punch him in the head. I'm like, Dad, say something. But he's one of those crazy parents. He's just like, oh my God, look how fast she runs. She's going to join the Olympics.
And she give the baby a good leg, knock out the baby, the next Leila Ali. She's going to make the family money. Look upon this one, lazy, no ambition. This baby have no ambition, he must sleep.
Doesn't make any sense.
Seen her on a comedy network. You might have seen her on CBC. She was at the Women in Comedy Boston Comedy Festival, JFL 42, North by Northeast. And she's going to be the new host of a monthly special show here in Comedy Alley at Laughing Vikings, Ladies Night of Laughter, featuring the top female comedians and LGBTQ2S friendly comedians. Please give a warm Laughing Vikings Live welcome to Sabrina Douglas.
Hey, whoop, whoop. What's up, y'all?
Sabrina, I don't think I've seen that much of a reaction from our viewers on the live stream. You've already got fans, Joseph and Lillian. You guys can come out to see her this Thursday, August 19th. She's the special guest host. So make sure you come to the alley. Oh, here we got. So we got someone, Older Gen Games says, I've seen her at the Underground many times and she kills it every time. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. Stop.
Welcome.
Stop.
Welcome. Welcome. Yeah. You've actually already been, you performed twice here at Comedy Alley. And I remember the first time you were coming from another show. You were performing at the park, Puff Mama's show, and you were running a little late. It's nice. For those who don't know, comedians usually, or the top comedians often have multiple shows per night. So that show had run a little long. We were waiting for you to come to that show. So I was kind of buying some time on stage, and then you burst into the alley. You blew the roof off the place. I should say, if there was a roof, you would have blown it off. Fortunately, there's no roof at Comedy Alley. And I think you brought your entourage of 6 or 7 family members that night too, which is pretty cool. You're always rolling with the family, rolling with some of the kids. So welcome to the show. Yeah. Where are you joining us today? You at home?
Oh, I'm at home. I don't know if you can hear the kids in the background. They're fine. Like I said before, the 6-year-old lost her tooth right before the show. And I'm like, just put it in a Ziploc. It's fine. Like, just get away from me. But I'm bleeding. I'm like, it's 4:30. Come on.
So you're saying we just rolled that clip talking about a kid losing a tooth and you literally just had another child lose a tooth? Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have 5 of them. So everything repeats itself. That's how I remember my old jokes. I'm like, oh yeah, I have a joke about this. So I guess I'm going to be doing it on stage. I'm so much experience.
That's amazing.
It helps though if you experience right away, you know?
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, welcome. We're going to get into your comedy start here, and we're going to talk about Comedy Alley, the upcoming shows. But first, the first segment, we're just going to throw you straight to the wolves here. This segment is called 1 Minute Life Story. And this is where we're going to get you, Sabrina Douglas, to tell us your entire life story in 1 minute. Brandon's going to throw a clock in there so you can see it. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, Lars.
Oh, my
Lars.
Gosh. This is crazy. Okay, let's do it.
All right. Here we go. This is Sabrina Douglas's 1 minute life story starting now.
Oh, my gosh. Born and raised in Brampton. Raised up in a Jamaican household. 2 brothers. A sister. I went to school in Windsor afterward, attempting to get away from strict parents, didn't work, came back, got married to my ex, but I had 2 children, so yay, I guess, right? And then, does that count? That was a phone call.
What happened?
I'm going to continue. Oh. Yeah, there was a phone call, so my phone just totally cut out.
We'll give you bonus
but
time. Keep going.
In a minute. I still have like 14 seconds.
Keep going. We'll give you bonus time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I went to, when the 2 kids were small, I started comedy. And then after that, I actually did a workshop at Yucks, which was like the worst, anyways, but whatever. I got my start. I started nursing before that. Then I did comedy. It was great. And then I had to take a break. There was too much stuff going on. Too many kids just screaming in my head. It was like, oh, I need a break. So then now I restarted again. And here I am. Did I do it? Oh, I'm over 24 seconds. I blame it on the phone call.
Good enough. No. Yeah.
We're going to count it. We're going to count it. That was Sabrina Douglas's 1 minute life story. We give her bonus time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
23 seconds. Thank you.
So take us back. How did you first get into stand-up? What was your first performance?
Oh God, my very, very first performance. Like when I first started, I had really bad stage fright. Like it was so bad that I couldn't even speak in front of like a group of like three people. Like I was a nurse at the time. And then if we were talking about patients, like it was me, another doctor, and like another healthcare professional, I'd be thinking about it. And then I would like get heart palpitations. I start shaking, like getting sweaty, like that bad for me. That was that bad. That was when I was like 30 years old. Oh my God, I'm so old. Anyways. So then I found this workshop online at Yucks. It was 6 Sundays. It was $300. Excuse me. I would never pay for that again. But anyways, okay, I wanted to get rid of my stage fright. But I'm like, I like to tell jokes to my friends who I knew, you know? So then I went there for the very first time, and I never really drove to Toronto. I was all like scared, like, oh my God, all these one-way streets. I'm so scared. And I went to Yucks in the daytime, downtown Toronto, which is creepy because it's in a basement with these huge like chickens, metal chickens on the door. And I'm like, am I going to hell? That's what it felt like. So then I went downstairs and there was like 6 people there. And oh my God, off the top of my head, I don't even remember who taught me. Whatever. It was a Humber comedy instructor. You guys, I don't know if you went to Humber School of Comedy or whatever. Larry Horowitz. Do you know him?
That sounds right. I know the name. I haven't met him, but I know that he taught a lot of the classes.
Yeah. And I literally like for four Sundays sat there and didn't say anything. And I'm like, yo, I paid for this. Hey, you guys. Sorry. Hey, be quiet. I'm talking, saying something important about my life. Okay. I'm like, they're totally like throwing each other around. I'm like, be quiet. Keep your pain in silence. Anyway, so I did 4 of the sessions. I didn't say anything. I'm like, yo, I gotta get on stage. I have to do it. So the 5th session, I got on stage. I told a joke about my dad, and people laughed. And then afterwards, I was so addicted. I was like, oh my God, I think this is what I want to do. I want to be a comedian. Like after that, but literally, it took me a whole year to actually get comfortable, like more comfortable on stage. It actually took me a long time. So yeah, but that was my very first start.
I don't know if you're adopting, but it looks like Joseph Simon would be interested in being your new adopted child. If you're looking for a man child that you want to take care of.
Oh my God.
That's amazing. It's such a great thing.
We will see.
There you go.
Come to the show Thursday.
There you go, Joseph. Come to the show Thursday, August 19th. We'll talk about that a little later on too. That's such a great thing to learn, because your energy and enthusiasm on stage, you would never know that you were a person who was afraid of being on stage without hearing that from you. And I was similar too. When I had a corporate job before, and sometimes when we're in big group meetings with executives, and they'd be going around the circle, and I know it would be coming to me, I'd feel like red in the face, and I'd be in my head, I'd be planning something really smart and eloquent to say, and then it would just be all and I would just
it was like a
blackout moment where at the end of me saying something for a minute, I would be like, oh, did I black out? What did I even say? So it's great for people that are watching, that are thinking about doing it. It's like you start where you start, and then you hone your craft. How did that lead to getting paid? When was your first paid gig as a stand-up?
Oh, wow. First paid gig. First paid gig. I can't even really remember my first paid gig. I used to do a lot of open mics, like back in the day, you know, with like Merhej and like who else? Hunter Collins and Brian O'Gorman used to run the underground. So maybe from those shows they'd pay you like $20 or something like that. But oh man, for sure a couple years in was my first paid gig. I don't even remember where, but like, yeah, I used to do a lot of free gigs though. I'm coming to Toronto maybe like 3 times a week. And then back then pre-COVID, I could probably do like 3 to 4 shows a night. Easy.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so.
For viewers and listeners, the way comedians get paid initially is you get paid in beer tickets and chicken wings. You might get paid in a nugget of weed or a little weed cookie sometimes.
Oh, my first paid gig was probably the Nubian show. The Nubian show. Wings and money. Wings. Right. Yeah, man.
Right.
And that was my scariest gig. Because the Nubian show back then, they used to boo comics off stage.
Right. Yeah. The Nubian show is, I think it was a once a month on a Sunday. Kenny Robinson, yeah. who is comedy legend in Canada. It's the Nubian disciples of comedy. And yeah, the crowd is known as like, it's like Canada's Apollo, I think is the way
it's packed with people. And then like when Kenny Robinson would get on stage at the beginning of the show, he would be like, if you don't like a mother, I can't swear because you know.
Right.
Like, if you don't like a mother asshole, make sure you let them know. Make sure you let them know. Then he'd be like, right. The next comic coming to the stage. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, so scared. Like, I seen people get booed so bad. I seen a guy pray on stage that he wouldn't get booed in the microphone and then get booed. Like, that's messed up. Like, those are the kind of. So, like, right. Every time, like, that helped me in my comedy to like, cause he actually mentored me a lot, like starting out, like he would tell me that like, if you go on stage, you need to get your laughs within the first minute and it should be like consistent. And I'm like, okay. So I get on stage and I'm just like I would literally like do shows for the month so I can like have a killer set at the Nubian show. Like, but then also the bad thing was it made me scared to try like new things. Like, I just wanted to be, like, to be able to try new things and not care. Like, right. So, I don't know. It's good and bad, but, like, whatever. Yeah. That was probably my first paid gig.
That show's legendary, and so many comedians in the Toronto area talk about Kenny as being a mentor to them. And it's a real rite of passage to go and do it and not get booed off stage or not get the hook.
Oh, my God,
you know? Yeah, that was great. That's great. So, yeah.
So Sabrina, what was your most interesting place that you've performed? Now, this could be something that's negatively happened, or it could be something that was real. You weren't sure about it, but it came out really, really well.
Oh my! I've done so many shitty open mics, where to the point where I'm like, "Am I a good parent? Like, am I doing the right thing?" Like, I'm literally destroying my soul. And then I got to go home to these children and be like, what was I doing at 3 a.m? Like, telling jokes to the weirdest, like, I've done tons of weird shows. But, like, one I remember was a music open mic. Like, I remember Bobby Mayer, like, fought somebody in there and got kicked out. But it was, like, it was, like, a punk rock music open mic. And the opening act, they were, like, serious. And I'm just like, oh, I got just jokes about my kids, man. These guys were crazy. They were like, your dad's comedian, Sabrina. And I'm like, it's, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, hey, I have kids. I work in a nursing home. What's up, everybody? Actually, I don't even know why I'm here. Why am I here? Like, I've done so many. I done one music open mic where the host, it was, like, at Ryerson. I don't know if you know it, man. It was a long time ago. But the hosts were 2 like cokeheads. They were weird men. Male comic that went on, they'd like try and fight them. They'd walk in front of me like, what? And if they saw a female comic, they'd be like, oh, you can do as much time as you want. Like, it was so crazy. And I'm like, am I that addicted? Like, do I need help? Probably. Like, if I'm doing these shit shows.
Yes, all comedians
like,
need help.
Oh my God, why am I here? I'm like, I need the stage time. I remember I got on, it was probably like 2 something in the morning. There were 2 people left and they both wanted to leave. And I was like, please don't leave. They were just trying, you know, people are trying to get out their seats and be like, okay, like they were the only ones in the middle of the room. I'm like, you can't leave me here. Like, I feel like this is.
A lot of comedy shows turn from comedy shows to more of a hostage situation at some point.
Oh my God, it's so bad, man. Yo, but especially I learned my lesson with that. It's good because I learned my lesson with that. If I know I'm going to be on a shit show, I'll be like, can I go first? I have kids. I have kids.
I'm all right. Like, all right, go. You gotta pull out that kid card every now and again, right?
Right.
Hell yeah. Oh my God, I have kids. Meanwhile, I'm at another show, and then people are like, you're all over the city. And I'm like, my bad.
Yeah, I remember
Sabrina.
When we first met, Sabrina, I remember you were known as one of the real big hustlers in the city, bouncing around, and you would go GTA. So you'd be out in Brampton, then you'd go to Scarborough, then you'd be downtown Toronto, then you'd be in Etobicoke, back to Brampton.
One night I did like five shows. Like I don't even understand how I even did that.
Right.
A little bit addicted. A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Stand up comedians.
I went to LA to see their open mics. They have a lot of open mics too. I was able to do a lot, but it's just their open mics in LA are shit compared to ours. I think Canada was probably like, if you want to own your craft and like work out your jokes, like I think Toronto's like probably one of the best places for sure. New York, Toronto.
Toronto has an amazing scene. Like, I remember wasn't there a few years ago, Dom Perre, he wanted to set like a record of the most amount of sets in a week. And I think he did 80 shows in a week where he was just bouncing around all over the city.
I think I remember that. Yeah. It's totally possible, man. That's crazy. Like even Aaron Burke, he did a documentary, right? Aaron Burr, he did one for New York.
Yeah, New York's similar because you can get around real quick. It's on a grid system. You can get around on subway if you need to be. The tough part in New York is a lot of shows in New York are bringers. If you're not someone who's known, they're bringers and sometimes as a new person, you even have to pay. Like you pay $20 to get on the show or to get a 5-minute spot. You got to bring 5 people who pay $25 and a two drink minimum.
Oh my God, yeah.
Whereas Toronto, there's just tons of shows, bar shows, open mics, there's comedy clubs. So I think the barrier for entry is a lot easier in Toronto as a comic. In LA, you have the traffic and geographically it's very spread out. So timing, it's tougher to bounce around in LA to get to all those shows. But Toronto's really made for that. It's great. It's great.
I think UK is really good too. I'm not 100%, but I think UK is really good for the comedy scene as well.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, every time you've come to perform at Comedy Alley, you've always brought a small entourage with you. Do you travel with them every show you go to and every night you go out?
No. Like my parents, they recently came from Jamaica. Like they were in lockdown. Like they weren't allowed to leave the country for a really long time. So I think that first time that I came to Comedy Alley, I just picked them up from the airport. And I was driving them. I'm like, yeah, so we have to do some comedy shows first. But they're so happy to be here. They're like, yeah, we'll come with you. I felt a little bad. I'm like, you guys aren't tired. Like, I'm not going to go home anyway. So like, you're my parents. So whatever.
And your dad's trying to get into the comedy scene as well.
Oh, well, the story with my dad is that we pre-COVID, do you know Camille Cote? She had a show where you have where the father or the parent would do stand up before the comedian. And my dad did that, which at first I was like, I don't know, because he can be pretty, you know. And then it was like, I was like, okay, what kind of jokes are you going to have? And he doesn't like to accept help. He's like, I will do it. I know what white people like. And I'm like, Dad, no, you can't even say that. Like, this sounds like it's going to be very offensive. Like, I feel it. So we did that. He actually did pretty good. And then it was like a packed show at Comedy Bar. And this is when I was just coming back. So like a lot of people were like, oh, where have you been? But my dad did a set there. And then he became addicted. he got the comedy fever. So now he's like, we're like doing open mics. He's like, I need to do longer sets. I'm like, yo, you need to go to a shitty open mic and feel my pain when I go through. That's what you need to go to those punk rock music open mics where people are like screaming and fighting people. Then come talk to me. Anyway, right. But he's just starting right. out. So
he's get six, on my he's level. Then you now. Can he's talk.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're like, you gotta suffer like the rest of us did I'm when like, we were new.
Me? Yeah, excuse me. I don't think so. You are going to work. Like, I will pick you up at 3 o'clock in the morning after you've done an open mic. We'll see if you still want to do this shit.
Right. Right. So let's talk about future shows. We'll talk about the Comedy Alley show, but what sort of maybe this question is, what advice would you give someone to either someone who's starting or someone who is currently a comedian and wants to get to the next level? What have you learned that you can share with aspiring comics?
I think the most important thing is that even I struggle with this too, but you should just focus on your writing. Like, focus on writing. Opportunities will come. Don't focus on what this person got or what that person got, because it's just distractions. You should just be working on your craft. And then if somebody comes to you and said, oh, can you do this gig? That's great. But you shouldn't focus on getting this gig, or like, why did this person get this, or why did this? But you should just be writing. That's the most important thing, and not get too much, because all of that distractions will get in your head. And then it's like so hard to focus. So that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Writing or reading. You. Read the newspaper. That's what Kenny would say. Read the newspaper. And I'm like, yo, I don't even read the newspaper. I have life. You know what I mean? No. Much respect to Kenny Robinson. Okay. But I'm not a political comic. Right. Don't you?
You focus more on teeth and teeth related issues with kids.
Yeah.
It's universal. You are either a parent with a kid who's lost a tooth, or you've been a kid who lost a tooth. So it is universal, whereas not everyone's going to relate to a certain political thing happening in the news. So, all right. So we're super excited to have you. You're going to be the first, or actually the second guest host of a show here in Comedy Alley. You want to talk about that show, Ladies Night of Laughter here. We can bring up the poster here.
Yes, Ladies Night of Laughter. I'm excited. Handpicked all these amazing pro comics. Oh my God. Brandon, he is a guy, but he is the best guy that I know that women love and can't have because he's gay. Anyways, but he is so hilarious. He is so hilarious. Keisha Brownie, touring comic. Okay, Angela, love her. You know her. She's from Brampton. So she's not from Brampton. She's from Ajax. But she used to come do Brampton rooms all the time. And then, of course, Hodo, so funny. Yeah, they're all amazing comedians. So I think it'll be a super fun night. And I love the fact that it's women, and it's women of color, and it's like just it has to be diverse. Like, we need more comedy shows that are diverse. Well, we have a lot of comedy shows that are diverse. You know what I'm saying? But I think it helps a lot more. A safe space. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
I used to do a lot of open mics. It was me and 20 white boys. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. You know what I'm saying? How many times do I have to hear about a penis? I don't want it anymore. So I was like, I'm going to start 20 shows where it's just women on stage. But you guys are fine.
Thank you. Well, you make a great point. Stand up traditionally has been sort of an old boys club, often an old white boys club. And this day and age, we need to hear new voices. We want to hear diverse voices of different genders and different sexes, and obviously the LGBTQ.
It needs to represent what the world is now. It needs to, comedy needs to represent. It shouldn't just be all white males. Like, what is that? I never understood that. I'm like, really? Like, I'll do shows and I'm the only female. The only black female. I felt like they're like, oh no, we need to be diverse. Let's put Sabrina on this show. I'm like, yo, am I a token? Cause, okay, I want the spot. But you know what I mean? It's like, yo, give me a break. That's weird.
Right. Yeah. And I think in places like Hollywood, too, there was a sense of, even when black comedians or Asian comedians or gay comedians would break onto the scene, there was a sense that, oh, like there's only one, like we got an Asian comedian or we got a Black comedian.
Yeah,
now.
It's so weird.
They were just checking boxes instead of like you want all those represented. And I think the big thing is for the audience members, as an audience member, you just like going to a movie or watching a TV show, you want to see yourself on screen. You want to see yourself on stage. You want to see people like you so you can start to feel a sense of belonging and a sense of representation too. So it's great. Thank you for approaching us. I mean, all of the shows here, I've made a conscious effort to make sure that the posters reflect some diversity, but having a special night, and some people will be like, well, then shouldn't there be a special like white guy night? Well, no, that's every comedy show in history has been a white boy night.
I love you that you said that.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous that, I know guys who say that kind of thing. Yeah. Well, shouldn't there be a white guy night then? There's no white guy night. It's like, that's been comedy for the last 50 years.
Yeah,
so,
enough.
No, I'm really excited to have that show. So again, it's this coming Thursday. If you're watching live, Thursday, August 19th. If you're listening to this and the date has passed, it's going to be a regular monthly show. So just make sure to follow Laughing Vikings on Instagram. We're going to do them on a monthly basis. So we're pumped. Your great energy to have that. And I know you're very well connected amongst the female comedian groups in Toronto here. So I'm sure the guest comics that we have are going to be fire every single week. So it's great. It's great. All right. So I know you got to leave here. You got to get to work at some point. Maybe you got to collect some teeth off the floor at your house.
Whatever.
So anything else you want to add, or maybe one question that we'd like to ask is sort of what's your end goal? What's your dream aspiration? Like if you could magically wave a wand and be on the show that you want to be on or produce a special or be in a movie or something, what's the end goal for Zabrina Douglas?
I just like, honestly, I want to be able to record an album and it just being perfect, like, you know, like just like a really good comedy album.
Amazing.
Pretty much, man.
Lillian has a comment saying, have fun, you will kill it. I know you will. I've seen you perform, I believe, 3 times at Comedy Alley now, and every time I love watching you perform, Sabrina.
Everybody say goodbye to Sabrina Douglas, and make sure to come out this Thursday, 9 p.m. Doors open at 8:30. Okay. So, go to laughingvikings.com/Comedy Alley for tickets, or you can hit up our link in bio on Instagram. It was great having you today, Sabrina, and we'll see you on Thursday. Enjoy work tonight, and good luck with the kids and their teeth. There we go. Sorry for the technical difficulties, listeners at home. Maybe we can trim that up and post a little bit. Mm-hmm. But once again, that was Sabrina Douglas. Make sure to follow her on Instagram at Sabrina Douglas, and you can come see her hosting in person this Thursday at Laughing Vikings Comedy Alley. Bring that poster up, and we'll just highlight everyone that we've got on the show again.
Yep.
We've got Keisha Brownie, Angela Thurston, Brandon Ash, and Hudo Hersey are all on the show. And there might be a couple extra special guests popping by, but it's the Ladies' Night of Laughter featuring some of Toronto and Canada's top female comedians, as well as LGBTQ2S-friendly comics every month. So we're making sure that we want to highlight different diversity and different groups here. So come on out and support that. And that's going to be a regular monthly show that we're doing here in Comedy Alley. So we got a few more things we want to talk about today, Brandon. Yeah.
Yeah. We did actually have a comment and a question from Older Gen Games. And he wanted to know what kind of equipment and camera equipment do we use here at the studio? So Lars, what I wanted to ask you, what do you use on your computer webcam right now?
Right now I have a Logitech HD. I think it's the Logitech C920P, if that means anything. It's really nothing fancy. It's a Logitech webcam that attaches to my laptop. It shoots in 1080. But again, it's like, I think that was $130 on Amazon. In the studio here, we use a Panasonic Handycam for our self-tapes. And honestly, like, I could use my Samsung, the the camera on my Samsung phone is actually better than my webcam, and it's better than the camera that we use in studio here. They're amazing. So if you have a newer iPhone or a newer smartphone, the camera in that is incredible. So really, for most people, I find a lot of people, depending on what projects they're looking at, whether it's a podcast or whether they're looking at starting a YouTube video, often people allow the tech side of things to hold them back. Like, they'll spend 6 months trying to figure out what microphone to buy or what camera to buy. My advice to those people is, if you want to do some research, do some quick research, but don't do more than an afternoon of research. Buy one, get it, and you can always upgrade. You can always change. But really, it's not the tech that makes the difference. It's going to be the messaging and the entertaining value. Either you're educating people, or you're inspiring them, or you're motivating them. And it's going to be your connection to your audience members, and really just have fun with it. And the advice always too is, if you're starting a new project, whether it's audio or video, is know that when you first start, it's going to be as crappy as it's ever going to be, and be okay with that. One of my coaches, Brendan Burchard, he talks about perfectionism, and people often think they'll use that excuse. They'll say, "Oh, I'm a perfectionist. I want to make things perfect." Well, you technically, you're not a perfectionist if you're not putting anything out there, because how you perfect something is you test it, put it out there, then you adjust, then you improve, then you level up. So if you're the type of person that's holding back, trying to perfect the tech and get the right stuff, you're really not perfecting anything. You're just procrastinating and you're just waiting. So just get it out there. If you're wondering about where to find things, just Google or YouTube tutorials on different cameras, but make that decision quick. I've seen it. I did it myself, and it's the common thing. Like, I want to start a podcast. I don't know what mic to buy. I don't know what camera to buy. Honestly, just get any camera, any lights, any mic, and start, and then adjust and improve later on is the best advice I can give to you. But thank you for that question.
And so I think we'll close out today's show with a quote of the week. So I have a quote for you. And I wish Sabrina was here to hear this, but it's okay.
We'll send it to her. Sabrina, we'll send you this clip.
Yes. No matter where you are in life, inspire and empower the women around you. Success is never reached alone, and wisdom and wealth are sweeter shared. I love Boom. That. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. And I think globally, if you look at countries that have women leaders, I mean, women have that maternal sense. They're better caregivers. Mm-hmm. I think women often think more about everyone, whereas guys can get very selfish, or guy like leaders, male leaders of countries can be very narrow focused on getting what they want, where I feel that maternal instinct is really like, let's make sure everyone is taken care of, and let's make sure kids are taken care of, and underprivileged people are taken care of, where I feel like maybe the male sensibility doesn't quite have that. We're maybe a little more driven to and have more maybe pride or whatever it is. I don't know psychologically what it is, but I feel like the world would be a better place if every country's leaders. I feel like there'd certainly be less wars if females were the president of places. So,
And I know my brother always reminds me of this sometimes. Pride is a sin. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. Now, I don't really subscribe to religion at all, but I do believe in some forms of fate, and that things happen for a reason. And I believe that we are going into an age where we need to empower the people around us, and we need to be more open-minded as to who runs things. And I think we should be open to a different form of government, and open to a different form of changing how we're doing things, and changing the system that's in place right now, so that it's maybe more effective for what's going on. Because the system, or the government system, was created, I believe, back in the early 1900s, in Canada at least. And so we have to adapt and change what's going on, because if we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, eventually something's going to break. Something's going to crack in the foundation.
For sure. And globally, I think one of the main indicators of sort of how a society does is how its women, especially young women, young girls, are treated. What rights do they have? What is their healthcare like? Do they have access to healthcare? Do they have access to education? Mm-hmm. And if you look at countries where young women are either tortured or raped or don't have rights or can't own property or aren't able to go to school, and like there's some countries where if a young female is able to read, then they're stoned or punished or whatever, which is obviously terrible. But I think the more we raise the bar for females across the board, and the more we get closer to some kind of 50-50 equality, or at least having access to the same services and the same rights. And
well, because it's not about equality anymore. It's about equity, right? It's about determining who needs the most help and then helping them, and making sure that the people that are oppressed are not. Yeah. And or limited in that.
Yeah, and giving people equal opportunities. A female should get the same opportunities a male does. They should, mm-hmm. if they're doing the same job, they should be getting paid the same.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be an issue for female comedians shouldn't feel like their voice isn't being heard because all the spots on stages are going to white males. Same as with LGBTQ and marginalized races or cultures, mm-hmm. who maybe haven't seen that prominent voice on stage. So I think the more we get to that, the better the world's going to be, so that we can all get along and we all feel like we're given equal opportunities on earth.
And Zabrina talked about this a little bit, and they shouldn't be tokenized. It shouldn't be that there's one woman, oh, we have this one woman, or we have this one black man, or we have this one black woman, or whatever. It can't be like that. It needs to be open. Anybody should be able to join and should be able to participate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're continually working to do that here at Laughing Vikings on stage and in the studio, making sure that we've got a community that is representative, and making sure that our acts on stage are multiple voices. So you come out this Thursday, August 19th, doors open 8:30, showtime is 9. You mm-hmm. can check out Zabrina Douglas and a bunch of fantastic female and LGBTQ2S friendly comedians. And we also have our regular shows Friday and Saturday. So this week you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 9 p.m. Go to laughingvikings.com/comedyalley. And if you're watching and or listening right now, you can use promo code FRIEND. That's promo code FRIEND, FRIEND. And you can get 50% off those tickets. So come join us, check out our show, and make sure to follow us on all the social media platforms. Go back and listen on all the podcast platforms if you've missed these shows. And we're here. We live streamed a little early today. We were on at 4:30. Typically, you can join us live at 6 p.m. every Monday. Mm-hmm. And we hope to see you soon in Comedy Alley.
Thank you, everyone. Have a fantastic week. We hope to see you later on.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
Goodbye.